Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined in the studio by Nick Watts, and we also have Tom Siegel as well. I'm going to be your Paddy Power rep for today, reading out the prices. What was your weekend like, Wattsy?
It was very good, thank you. Yeah, it involved a bit of everything, bit of racing, bit of sport generally. Football season's back, isn't it? Disaster of a test match at the moment. So, yeah, there's plenty to watch on TV, and it was a nice, relaxing Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, well and refreshed.
I'm getting far too invested in the work fantasy football league. It's becoming my life. It's not good. Tom, what about you?
Well, I can guarantee you don't have any Reading players in your team, Maddie. I can assure you of that.
No, I went
to see them again on Saturday. They lost again. Nil point. It's good so far for Reading this season. Thank God Steve McLaren's joined QPR. Otherwise, we'd be bottom of the Championship.
Well, good as his Reading lads won't be best chuffed with that. But anyway, we have the wonderful York Festival to look forward to. We're going to kick straight off with Wednesday's card. We've got the Tattersall's Acom Stakes at 2.25. It's a Group 3 for two-year-olds. Watan is the 2-1 favourite. Broom 11-4. Persian Moon 4-1. Phoenix of Spain 15-2 and 12-1 bar. What's he, Watan? He's a bit of a sort of sexy horse coming into this, having done what he did at Goodwood. How impressed with him were you?
I liked him. I thought he looked good. I think he's from the first crop of Toronado, isn't he? I think it's his first two-year-olds this season, Toronado. So obviously the Hannon's keen to get their hands on some of his offspring and do well with them. And, you know, got off to a very good start, sire and the horse himself. Won very, very comfortably indeed. This is an extra furlong, but you'd think he'd appreciate that. Great beginning. He was my selection for this race. I think he could be quite useful. And the way he won at Goodwood, I thought it was very impressive.
Okie dokie. In opposition to that, Tom, I've been having a look, and recently favourites haven't done too well in this race. Are you going to be trying to take him on, or do you think he's got a bit of star quality about him?
Your favourites don't do very well at York. Full stop, I don't think, Maddie. It's a tricky track. For me, yeah, I've got to take him on. That's part and parcel of my job, isn't it? To, you know, enhance it. I don't think he's a brilliant price, is he, at 9-4 or whatever? Despite looking very good on his debut, I think, you know, he's clearly going to enjoy the step up to 7 furlongs on what we saw at Goodwood, and he's got all the potential in the world, but it's just a maiden winner, and there's plenty of horses in there with better form, I would have thought.
I like James Street. Which one do you like? A bigger price?
I thought James Street was one. I liked Broom. I'm hoping because he was beaten by a favourite of mine, Anthony Van Dyke, on his debut. I thought he'd go well, but once again, he's a short price. I actually thought Phoenix of Spain might be too big a price. I saw him at Sandown first up behind in a good race, King of Comedy, yes, Persian yep. Moon, and he didn't know what to do. He was all out the back and didn't know. But he got going really late, and he finished really well on the bridle, right on the heels of those good horses. He's come out and won a small race at Wolverhampton since, and Charlie Hills' horses are running really well now. They had a bit of a down patch, and I noticed he's got him in all the big races. All the big two-year-old races coming up. He won this with Dutch Connection not that long ago, which would have been a similar type of profile coming into the race. This horse, as I say, has entries in the Champagne, the Royal Lodge, the Dewhurst. He'd be the one I'd be looking at the moment, but as you know, these prices tend to change by the second. So if he turned into a 4-1 shot, I'm not sure he's a 4-1 shot. So things might change, but at the moment, that's the one I'm looking at: Phoenix of Spain for Charlie Hills and Jamie Spencer.
Okay, Phoenix of Spain for Tom and Watan for Watsy. Moving on to the Skybet Great Voltager Stakes Group 2 at 3:00. Kew Gardens 15-8. Cross Counter is 2-1. Wells Fargo 5-1. The Pentagon 13-2. Old Persian 12-1 and 16-1 bar. Now the Gordon Stakes, you know, not many contestants there, Watsy, but Cross Counter couldn't do much more than he did, and he looks a really improving sort.
Yeah, he does. I really like the horse. So I think there's a tendency to maybe denigrate the achievements of geldings. I suppose it gives you a bit of a black mark against the horse before seeing what it's done, because you think, what if they've gelded it? They obviously don't think highly enough of it to keep him intact. So the fact that he is a gelding means he's come kind of slightly from a different kind of sphere from maybe the rest of these horses. But he, like you said, he went to the Gordon Stakes last time. He thrashed DXB. In really good style, I thought, and that was just backing up another good win the time before. Mm. So he comes here at the top of his game. I think they mentioned Australia for him later in the season. I think he has to look to those kind of races, obviously, because he's not. This
good
is a traditional
St.
Ledger trial, isn't
Sorry,
it?
Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Yeah, not for cross counter, obviously, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't come in here with a great chance. I think he's £1 superior to Kew Gardens on the ratings, and he's getting, I think, he's getting £5, I think, off Kew Gardens, so that's going to help. Mm. I really, really like the horse, and you know, just because he has been gelded doesn't mean he can go on and prosper and do great things. So yeah, he's the one for me. Even though, you know, if you're looking at this as a traditional ledger trial, obviously you dismiss him because he's not going to be in it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he can't win this one. Tom, I was just going to say that Godolphin seemed to have lots of potential Melbourne Cup horses this year. Again, are you steering away from cross counter? What do you think his Goodwood form's worth?
Well, it was course record, Maddie. I think that, you know, there's lots of horses that are running the Gordon Stakes over the year. Lots of St. Ledger horses are running the Gordon Stakes, and none of them have ever run faster than cross counter. So he's clearly very good. I think he's the most likely winner of this myself. I think Kew Gardens has the penalty. Not only that, is he missed the King George, didn't he? My guess is he's had a few quiet weeks to build him back up for a Ledger or an Arc. So I would doubt he's at his very peak. He might be, but I think it's unlikely. In any case, he's got to give £5 to cross counter, which I don't think's easy. Wells Fargo's a horse I like, but I think he's a bit of, in terms of this race, I think he's too short a price, because I think the form of his Newmarket win is quite a long way behind the likes of cross counter, Kew Gardens, and even the Pentagon. But I do think he's a horse that's getting better. I don't think we saw the best of him at the start of the season. Obviously, won the Acom. He's an interesting horse for the St. Ledger going forward, definitely. I think any rain would suit him. One I'm most interested in, I don't know if I would back him, is the Pentagon, actually.
Okay.
He's had a miserable season, really. But I think if you watch again the Irish Derby last time, he did incredibly well to finish where he did. I mean, it was that slowly run race where Latrobe beat Rostropovich, and they were 1 and 2 all the way round with Saxon Warrior just in behind them. Pentagon was held up last. He must have run the last 3 furlongs quicker than anything else in the race. I think he's a horse that's finding his feet now, because he was always supposed to be there, a Derby horse. Whether this race, once again, it's the old O'Brien thing. It's Wayne Lawdon's riding him, you know, and it's not Shamey or... I know Shamey's not there, but it's not... doesn't sound like he's overly fancied for the race, but I do. Aiden did say that his two main colts for the Ledger were Kew Gardens and the Pentagon, so it'll be interesting to see how he runs. Personally, I think cross counter will win. I think he's probably a good bet on the first day, given that there's doubts about everything else. But I think it'll be an interesting race, and with the Ledger in mind.
Okay, so two fancies for cross counter. Then moving on to what's got to be the race of the meeting, really. It's the Judmont International, the Group 1. Poet's Word won the King George last time, 13-8. He heads the market ahead of Roaring Lion at 5-2. Saxon Warrior at 9-2. Without Parole, an interesting runner at 10-1. Ben Battle at 12s and 16-1 bar. What's he? Poet's Word, he's very solid, and he deserves his place at the top of the market, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. He's one of these typical stout older horses that's just improved and got better and better. And, you know, the way he hunted down Chris... his stablemate last time out was very impressive in the King George. I thought William Buick had stolen March on him and he'd do well to get anywhere near him, but he managed to overhaul him, so that was really impressive. If you're after my selection, I've got to stick with Roaring Lion.
Hold on, where's Orion's bow, Watsy?
That's coming, don't worry about that. Okay, that's coming. Roaring Lion, I mean, you know, you go back to the Dante and he visually put in a massively impressive performance. I always like horses at York who've been there and done it before, because it can be a bit of a funny track for some horses, don't know why, but, you know, it does appear to be that like that. So that's really impressive. I thought his run in the Derby was fantastic for a horse that I don't think is a mile and a half. Was really, it probably stretched him. He was a bit quirky in his earlier races, so obviously the camber and the nature of Epsom, it was all a little bit alien to him, but he was so professional during the race, and he finished placed in that, which was fantastic. And then, of course, you know, he went to Sandown and won there and got the better of Saxon Warrior in a really tough battle. But he's one for me. Tom was already alluded to, he's been on my radar all season. I think he's just one of these horses that's getting better and better. Mm. Reminds me a little bit of Raven's Pass, you know, a few years ago for John Gosden, who was, you know, good in the first part of the season, but then in the second part of the season, he just took off and ended up winning the Breeders' Cup. So, yeah, Roaring Lion for me, in receipt of the weight, is the one to beat.
Okie dokie. Tom, Poet's Word stepping back down in trip. Do you think it's his optimum or...?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think 10 furlongs is better. Although he did really well to catch Crystal Ocean last time, didn't he? Although I thought it was funny that they said Crystal Ocean might drop back in trip at the earlier in the week. So maybe they thought he didn't quite get home that day. It's possible. Mm. Poet's Word is... the form choice, undoubtedly. Personally, I'm with Watsy. I prefer Roaring Lion in the race. I think he's coming into the race on an up. I don't think we can discount Saxon Warrior by any stretch of the imagination. He was not far behind Roaring Lion at all. And
do you not think that sort of Roaring Lion, he didn't really get his own way in the Eclipse, did he? Whereas Saxon Warrior sort of had the run of the race.
I don't think they've had a clear run with Saxon Warrior all season, Maddie. I don't think we've seen the best of him at all. Not even probably in the Guineas. I know they thought he was a bit short in the Guineas. I think he's had problems since then. They've been quite hard on him, given that they've probably never had him right. They ran him in the English Derby, Irish Derby and the Eclipse. I'm of the feeling that we haven't seen the best of him yet, because I think he's... You know, and what he did as a two-year-old and what he did in the Guineas, he's clearly top class. I wouldn't rule him out.
In the race post-trophy, didn't he?
He did, and he beat him in the Guineas. So, so it's 2-1 at the moment. No, 2-2, isn't it, because of the derby. It's 2-2. So there's not much between them, and we're talking 5-2 and 9-2. So I wouldn't rule out Saxon Warrior. I personally think Rory Lyon will beat him again, but I don't think there's that much between them. Mm. Without Parole, I think, has got a bit to prove now, because however slow they went in the Goodwood race, he shouldn't have finished second last to me. He was getting beaten by, Sober Loved and horses like that, Gustav Klimt. And then I think they're proven to be not very high class. Something was up with him, and I don't think it was necessarily the pace. So I think he's got a bit to prove, although I do think the step up in trip. I think the sort of outsider to look at would be Ben Battle for Saeed Bin Saroor. I think you throw out the Ascot run, which was probably on the ground a little bit too quick for him. I think he's top class. He won at Maidan in the turf race there. He won by 3.5 lengths. He was really impressive.
Is he going to get
there.
His ground on Wednesday, though?
I don't think it'll be too bad, because they can't allow it to be too fast for the first day of any big meeting. I don't think they let the first day be very fast. Do you think not? I can't believe they'll let it be rattling fast for the first day.
No, I'd agree with that. You've got a four-day meeting, and I don't think there's a lot of rain forecast for the week, so... Yeah, definitely starting. He'll probably be at his best on Wednesday, I would think, and getting gradually quicker towards the end of the week.
That's what I think. Whether he's quite good enough, I think Racing Post ratings would put him second in. They'd put him around Roaring Lion and, around Roaring Lion and Saxon Warrior. So then he's not far off. He won a Group 1 in Germany last time. I think he'll come up a little bit short, but I'm not sure he should be a double-figure price.
Okay, and just one last thing. Talking about Saxon Warrior, does the Aidan O'Brien stable form worry you at all?
Still does, yeah. Mm. It does a bit, because the two-year-olds are so in and out, aren't they? Normally, the thing about Aidan O'Brien is normally the one thing you can set your clock by is his consistency. Mm. The horses always run their race, don't they? This season, we're having horses run terribly. Look at Rhododendron, look at Magic Wand, look at Saxon Warrior. Mm. There's loads of them. We're going around saying, look at Kew Gardens in the Derby. There's lots of them that have run shocking races. Mm. And they might well bounce back, but I just don't know when they're going to do it. It could easily be this week at York, but it's hard. It's a bit of guesswork involved.
Yeah, that's going to be factored into the prices. We'll start looking at Thursday's card after this short break.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined by Nick Watts and Tom Siegel. We're looking at previewing York's Thursday card now onto the 155 Skybet Lowther Stakes Group 2. Fairyland for the aforementioned Aidan O'Brien is at 11-4, So Perfect 3-1, Main Edition 4-1, Angel's Hideaway 11-2, and Codiana 10-1, Servalan 10-1, and 14-1 bar. Watsy, we've not seen Fairyland in a while, but she put up a good performance at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, absolutely. You just mentioned the crux of the issue a minute ago with Tom when you talked about the Aidan O'Brien stable form and a few of them running in and out. We haven't seen Fairyland for a while, and it'll be interesting to see what he runs, whether he runs Fairyland and So Perfect or one of the other. So Perfect is a rare example, I suppose, this season of a Ballydoyle horse who doesn't seem to have been affected by anything because her runs have got better as she's gone along. Mm. She was a good fourth in the Queen Mary behind Signora Cabello. You showed that form in a really good light on Sunday at Deauville. She's only beaten 3/4 of a length that day, and since then she's come out and won. And then she finished second, a good second, I thought, behind Advertise against the Colts in the Phoenix Stakes last time out. So she is one that seems to, whatever bug there's been at Ballydoyle, she seems to have escaped it and gone from run to run to run and improved. More in the norm that we expect from Ballydoyle horses. So if she, again, it's all down to running plans, and we don't know those at the moment. But if So Perfect was the one from his stable, then I think I'd be quite keen on her because she does look progressive. And like I said, she's got those runs in the bank that show she is, still improving.
Mm. And Tom, it's a bit of a muddling race, quite hard to assess, but who would your selection be at this stage?
I think Angel's Hideaway probably has a similar level of form to Fairyland, isn't she? Just probably a little bit behind So Perfect, but I thought she got better. I think she's improving. I thought there was, reasons for why she got beaten by Pretty Pollyanna, but we all saw what Pretty Pollyanna came out and did yesterday. I think you saw her probably a little bit closer than the rest of us, Maddie. I think Angel's Hideaway is an improving, good, solid filly. I don't think she'll win a Guineas probably, but I don't know who's, what I'm talking about. They're not sure who's going to run in this. I think pretty sure she's going to run. She's chalked up with Frankie on. She might turn out to be a pretty decent bet at around, I think it was 11-2 or something you said there. I think she'll run well. I'm quite like Andrew Balding's filly, Firelight, at a huge price. I think people underestimated her last win. It was only narrow win at Newmarket, but Andrew Balding's horses are running really well, so I could see her going well too. And Flawless Jewel for Richard Fahey. It's Fahey's horses at York. They're just absolutely, they just excel themselves there. She won by 16 lengths, believe it or not, last time. Now, it was a terrible race. She beat 100-1 shot, and that was it. But to win any race by 16 lengths takes some doing. And she showed plenty on her debut at York too, when she was well back. So I think there's some strength in depth here, and I think the prices might, well, I know they'll be wrong to what they are now because we don't know what's running, but when we see what's turning up, some of those ones at big prices might be interesting.
Tom's going to get stuck into a few.
I like that race, yeah.
Another race which I'm sure many people will be getting stuck into is the 3:35 Darley Yorkshire Oaks. I'm really, really excited for this. We've got Sea of Class at 6-4, Lawrence at 100-30, Forever Together at 7-2, Coronet 5-1, Magic Wand at 7-1, and it's 12-1 bar. What do you make of those at the top of the market? Who's sort of your number one? Do you think Sea of Class deserves to be favourite on her Irish Oaks win?
I like what she's done. I like the progression she's made. It's been done, she went from maiden to winning two listed races and then Group 1, coped with it all very well. So, she beat Forever Together last time out, and again, it's something that Tom alluded to about previous races. The Ballydoyle fillies in particular, Forever Together obviously won nicely at Epsom. You think, she's going to go on and be a superstar, and then she gets beaten. Magic Wand comes out, wins the Ribblesdale, then gets beaten. And, you're kind of left thinking, are they actually any good, or is it down to the Ballydoyle factor and the fact that they have been in and out this season? Will they come back? I just like the way Sea of Class has been campaigned. It's quietly, she's got there softly. She's at the top table now. She deserves to be there. She won in Ireland last time out. And she stays very well. So she's the one to beat for me, although, you probably think differently with your affiliation to Lawrence.
Oh, affiliation. No, it was great to go up and see her a few weeks ago and meet John. So very, very much in the Lawrence camp myself. But that's probably, skewed by sentiment. Tom, who are you siding with? I know you were a big fan of Forever Together with the ledger in mind and races like that. For this?
I don't know. I think she needs a bit of soft ground myself, Maddie. I think the key to Forever Together is, like we saw at Epsom, she's a really strong stayer. And so the stronger, the more test there is on stamina, the better she's going to be. I think they'll be too quick for here. The Sea of Class is fascinating horse. Now, I got in a bit of trouble because I sort of said, that James Doyle ride, which everyone said was the greatest ride since sliced bread. And I said, if she's favourite for the arc or 10-1 for the arc, how can it be a brilliant ride when she gets up on the line? And I stand by that because she's 6-4 here, for Yorkshire Oaks, which is a lot better race than she won in Ireland last time. So what the bookmakers are saying are that she's better than she showed at at the Curragh. Well, if she's better than she showed at the Curragh, it can't have been the greatest ride of all time. It was a good ride, don't get me wrong.
That's a very interesting point, yeah.
But it's true, isn't it? It can't be. It can't be. If they're expecting her to be a 6-4 shot for a race like this, they're saying that she's better than she's shown before, because Racing Post ratings don't have her top. I'm pretty sure Timeform won't have her top. You know, they've got two or three in front of her. She's got progression to come. The point is that what she did at the Curragh was exceptional, given the nature of the track and the way the race was run. Mm-hmm. It was a slowly run race, and she was sat out last. And what she did to win was exceptional. It wasn't the ride that it was exceptional. It was her that was exceptional. And that's why I think she's 6-4 for this, not necessarily what the ride was. But there we go. That's a different kettle of fish. I think she's really, really good. I think she's the most likely winner, but I don't think she's a 6-4 shot by any stretch of the imagination. Like you said, I'm a massive Lawrence fan. I think she's going to enjoy the step up and trip. Mm. Would prefer a bit of easier ground for her myself.
Yeah, perhaps.
Same for Forever Together. I think Magic Wand is very interesting, because last time when they went to Ireland, she was favourite. She was, Ryan Moore chose her over Forever Together. She was odds on to win the Irish Oaks, and she just didn't perform. So.
But they did find a problem, didn't they? It wasn't, I think she scoped dirty or something. It wasn't as if, you know, that was her running.
Exactly. So you throw that, if that's a cross-out run, then she's riding there too, isn't she, on the Ribblesdale form? Got to throw in the older horses. Coronet was third in the King George. I think she's better than that. She's got good York form. She won the Group 2 at the start of the season there, and she was second to Enable in this race last year. Got to throw in here. I know it's, but we don't quite know how the three-year-old staying fillies match up to the older horses yet, so I don't think she's out of it. You've got Azira for Dermot Weld, that's won her last three. Yeah, exactly. She's an improving filly. I don't think on form she's quite there yet, but so Dermot Weld, Aga Khan filly, I don't think we've seen the best of her. You've got loads of them. Horseplay's good. You've got a German filly that's won three on the trots by See the Stars, five on the trot by See the Stars, that won a Group 2 by two lengths last time from the rear. So I think, you know, I know we were talking about the Judd Monty International, and I think this is the best race of the of the thing. I think this is an absolute, the best renewal of the Yorkshire Oaks I can ever remember.
Pin absolutely your colours to the mast then. See if class for you, or are you going to look elsewhere on the basis of price?
Well, if I was betting now, I'd back Magic Wand. Because I don't think that's her form last time. If she's back to the form that we saw her at Royal Ascot, I think she's as good as any of them.
Okie dokie. On that note, we'll move on to Friday's card, 2:25. It's the Weatherby's Hamilton Lonsdale Cup. The Group 2, Stradivarius, is a 2-5 shot. Red Verdon, 6-1. Idaho, 9-1. Desert Skyline, 10-1. And 12-1 bar. I actually spoke to Stradivarius' owner on Saturday, and lots of people who he was with were saying, don't have an interview because it's bad luck. But, I mean, this looks a pretty easy task for him, doesn't it, Nick?
You would say so, yeah. I thought he did very well at Goodwood last time out. He was short price to win that day based on what he did at Ascot. But Torcedor is a, you know, formidable rival who really served it up to him in the straight. Briefly got him off the bridle, though Andrea Zaney said he was never in any discomfort particularly chasing after him. He probably won a shade cosily, and you know, they probably had this massive bonus in their minds from quite some time now. So I think at Zaney managed to win last time without overexerting Stradivarius or doing, you know, no more than was absolutely necessary, knowing that this race is coming up quite soon afterwards. And yeah, he is the new kid on the block. He looks a fantastic staying prospect because he not only has, you know, bucket loads of stamina as well, but he's got speed too. He came out one of the best ledgers in recent years last season, you know, so, you know, the form in and around that race is simply superb. So he's got it all. The only thing that can scupper him is if, you know, the Ascot races and the Goodwood races combined have taken more out of him than we've seen. But the indications are from what we've noticed of him on, you know, when we've been watching him, is that he's fine. And like I said, at Zane, he was pains afterwards after that Goodwood race to say, look, you know, I did what I had to do, but no more, because we've got this race at York in a couple of weeks. So I would expect he won't be a big price to win, but like I said, he's you know, with the likes of Order of St George just getting a bit older now and not even here, you know, for this race, he is the one they will have to beat in this division, and it'll be the same story.
Tom, do you think it's a bit of a weak division, because opposition's pretty thin on the ground here, isn't it?
I don't know, Maddie. I thought the Ascot Gold Cup was as good a renewal as I've seen for a bit. You had the French horse, you had Order of St. George, and I'm a massive Torcedor fan. I was heartbroken to see him be sold to Germany and off to Australia, because I think he would have provided another great tussle with Stradivarius. I was a big fan of his. So in terms of this race, yes, I do think it's weak. I think this is much easier than the races Stradivarius has been winning. And I think he's a really top-notch stayer myself. I think once he learns to... He's always pulling hard in his races. He always looks too keen, and yet he always finds enough. I think that's a magnificent sign. I think he would have no problems dropping back in trip. I could see him doing a Order of St. George or a Westerner, if you're older like me and Nick, running well in the arc. Do you know what I mean? Running really well in a race like the arc.
Yeah.
Because I think he's got that much latent talent. I think he'll have too much for these. He likes York. I can't see Idaho's the only one in there with the natural ability to give him a race, because we all saw him. I mean, he was a Hardwick winner and placed in derbies, wasn't he? So he's a very good horse too. Stradivarius thrashed him at Goodwood last time, but that was his first attempt at 2 miles. I think, you know, what we're talking about the Aidan Bryan horses, he could bounce back, but it's a bit of a stretch to see him beating Stradivarius only getting 3 pounds here. I think, you know, it's 2-5 and he should be 2-7.
Okie dokie. The 3 o'clock Albasti Equiword Jumprax Stakes is a Group 2. Similar with sort of story to the Lowther, in that we're not 100% sure who's going to run yet. But Shine So Bright is 7-2. The Irish Raven 9-2. Legends of War 5-1. Space Traveller 5-1. Landforce, who ran in the pre-morning, 7-1. And it's 8-1 bar. What's at this stage? It looks quite open, but I think Legends of War is quite an interesting horse because of his sort of earlier season reputation.
Well, he is, because he was on the name on a lot of our lips before Royal Ascot. I know he didn't end up running at Royal Ascot because he won his maiden so impressively, and he's been quoted for big races after, you know, subsequent to that. Disappointed, and then came back last time, but only scraped home at odds on. So it kind of leaves you a little bit guessing as to the impression you made earlier in the season. Is that the one that we should go with, or is it the horse that disappointed second time out and then only scraped home last time out? It makes it much more difficult to weigh him up, I think, what's happened in his last two starts. The one I did like in this, you mentioned him in the betting, we mentioned Richard Fahey earlier, Space Traveller, I think 5-1.
He's unbeaten in two, isn't he?
Won very, very nicely at Hamilton last time out, I think by upwards of 3 lengths, and you put distance between your rivals like that, normally indicates a good performance. It just backs up what he was doing on his debut when he looked good as well. Fahey, as Tom said earlier, mustered at York. Got to respect everything he runs, and I think they think quite a bit of Space Traveller. So he would be the one for me. Legends of War, I don't know. Interesting to see what Tom thinks, because he was a big fan after his debut, weren't he?
Take it away.
I don't like him anymore. What's he put the nail on the head? I thought he was horrible last time. I know he scraped home, but I didn't like him at all. I don't know what's up with him, because he looked nothing like the horse that won on his debut at Yarmouth. I'd be against him. It's one of those races, isn't it, where you're going to have to take a chance because the form horses just aren't that good. You know, you've got the Irish Rover. I'm a bit of a fan of his, but a little bit disappointed. He didn't run better last time behind Advertise. I thought he could have... I think he's the form horse. Shine So Bright, pulled too hard behind Landforce last time. Landforce himself, we all saw what happened on Sunday. True Mason was in the race. They were all beaten a long way by the fillies. I think you're going to have to take a chance at the prices because they head the market. The form horses are going to head the market. I think you're going to have to take a chance on one of these maiden horses. Could easily be Space Traveller. Could easily be one of Richard Hannon's. Could be, you know, Kevin Ryan's got a great race and great record in the race. And I noticed that Clipper Logistics, who owns Space Traveller, also have Secret Venture in the race for Kevin Ryan, who won on his debut at the start of the season, been off for a bit since, won at Leicester at the start of the season only narrowly. But Danny Tubbo, it'd be interesting to see where he goes, because he's the assigned jockey for Clipper Logistics. So it'll be interesting to see which one he rides of those two. If he went for Space Travel Secret Venture, I'd be interested in him, because whatever Ryan runs in this race is nearly always on the top of my shortlist, because he's got such a good record on it. I can't remember how many times he's won it. I'll look it up while I'm speaking. But that Secret, that horse there is very good. Yeah, he won it with Astaire and Blaine recently. And I wouldn't rule him out if Danny Tubbo went for him over Richard Fahey's horse.
Okay, and we'll move on now to the 3:35 Coolmore Nunthorpe Stakes Group 1, where we get to see Batash again, a really exciting horse to watch. Whether he'll deal with the demands of the Knavesmire, I think, as we mentioned in a previous postcast, they're planning to box him across the course instead of walk him across the course, Watsy. But is it still, we've talked about it, you know, for the whole season really, is his behaviour and his sort of temperament still a worry for you in a race like this?
Not so much as it would have been a year ago. I think he has, they've done a terrific amount of work with him at home, I think, and I think that's shown on the race course as well. He's been a lot more controlled. And you know, they've got last year's experience to draw upon. Obviously, you know, things didn't go right for him that day. He got stirred up at the start for whatever reason. And, you know, he just blew his brains out in the race itself, didn't he? Went far too quickly and couldn't sustain that at all. I think he's a different beast 1 year on. I think he is much more relaxed. He obviously comes into the race, you know, on the back of a fantastic win at Goodwood. And visually, that just looked like his Abbe win. You know, it's just...
Shivers down the spine stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing seems to be able to live with him. And, you know, I know this is going to be harder than the Goodwood race last time. But, you know, again, even at Ascot when he was beaten, I thought, you know, he didn't really do a lot wrong that day. I think it's harder with his running style to bring that off at Ascot, maybe, than, you know, other tracks. Because you do leave yourself to be a sitting duck somewhat in the you know, final furlong. I don't think he'll have those problems at York. I think he can just pretty much do what he did at Goodwood and say, look, come on, you know, come and catch me if you can. And I don't think they'll be able to. I think, you know, he's great to watch. He's absolutely fantastic to watch. He's really his box office. And if he just gets into the stalls and he's not stirred up and he's nice and relaxed, then he wins.
Okie dokie, made it sound nice and simple. Just the betting for you. Bitash is currently 8-11. Blue Point at 5-1. Finsbury Square at 12-1. Mabs Cross 12-1. Judicial at 16-1. Washington DC 16-1. And a whole other host at bigger prices. Tom, I mean, you'd try and find a horse to go against Bitash with, I guess. Would Blue Point be the one, or would you be wanting something at an even bigger price?
It's the only one, Maddie, isn't it? It's the only one, I think. I mean, they're looking at the rest, and Mabs Cross ran well at... Mabs Cross, to be fair, was only just behind Bitash at Ascot. I think they should be closer in the market, to be perfectly honest. I think if you throw out Blue Point's last run in the July Cup, he's a very, very good horse, that. And he ran, whatever it was, an incredibly good time at Royal Ascot to win the King's Stand. He's not... I think Bitash is a better horse. But there are, you know, he did get blown out here at York the only time he's run here. In contrast, Blue Point won the Gimcrack by 3 lengths the only time he's run here. He did beat him in the King's Stand. I don't think they should be 8-11 and 5-1. I still think Bitash will win, don't get me wrong. But I do think that's a pretty decent each way bet at 5-1, that. You know, it's a bet to nothing for him to finish in the three. I can't see any of the others being anywhere near good enough. No, obviously he could blow out. But if Blue Point's at his best, and the vibes from the Gallup's reports, which I've been reading in the paper recently, suggest he is, then, you know, he is in there. And whatever anyone says about York, and it's the same at any track, the draw will come into it. You know, if there's 15 runners, I would always want to be in a low number at York. I think that sort of up the middle towards the far side has been a big help over the years. If Bitash was drawn in 15 and Blue Point was drawn in 2, I think it brings it really, really close together. So I wouldn't be sitting here at the moment saying anyone could possibly have a better date to 11 until you've seen the makeup of the field, the draw, and the ground. I mean, I think. Truthfully, I think Bitash will still win, but I think it should be closer. If I was throwing a nutty one, it would be Mr. Lupton, who just simply loves York. I'd never thought he was fast enough to win at York, but he went and ran a handicap there. Well, he's literally won 1-1. He just runs all his best races there. He won a listed race here the other day, didn't he? And then he won the handicap, beating El Astronauta, giving him weight. And, you know, obviously that's a way away from Bitash, but he won it in 57 seconds, and he can clearly run very fast. If at 25-1, he might pick up the pieces, but deep down, it's between the top two.
Okie dokie. Any other fancies at York this week, Watsy?
Yeah, I'd give a shout out to Afark if Charlie Hills sends him up there. You know, as Tom mentioned earlier, Charlie Hills' horses are running much, much better than they were, you know, this time a month ago. And it gives you a lot of confidence about what he does send up there. Afark's already won a race at York this season, won a handicap. So we know he goes at the track, and he was, if you watch his Goodwood run from last time, he was very unlucky. He kind of got, it's one of those typical Goodwood handicaps where he got shuffled back at a crucial time. Finished strongly, finished fourth, was never going to win, but he did catch your eye in staying on well, and you thought this is a horse in good form at the moment. When he gets the brakes, he's going to win another one. And so, you know, all things coupled together and with the trainer form in mind as well, I think if Ark goes up there, then he's got a good chance.
You want to be careful when you're saying that.
Yes, watch out, Watsy.
You can see who the immature one is on this postcast, can't you? Tom, any other fancies at York this week?
Yeah, I mean, I've been having a look at Wednesdays now. We got the decks in. I thought a horse in the Sky Bet handicap, 2 mile handicap, is always a really good race, that. One of Rafe Beckett's Here and Now. I think he won it last year with Magic Circle, if I'm not being mistaken. I'm pretty sure he did. Here and Now has run two of its best races at York. He was unlucky last time behind Northwest Frontier here. And last year, he was he's only beaten half a length in the Melrose.
I remember that run, yeah.
It was a great run, wasn't it? Secret Advisor, on to victory, the Grand Vizier. It was a really strong race. He was running off 87 there. He's running off 91 now. He's a year older. I think he'd have a big shot in a race like that.
Okay, and finally, Nap of the Week.
Ooh, tricky. I'm hoping.
You didn't let us play the little jingle, Tom.
Oh, is there a jingle?
Too Hasty. Yeah, Steve Palmer.
Oh, not him again. Everywhere I go, he's involved.
Okay, anyway.
Come on, let's hear it then. I want to hear it now.
This will not be beaten.
And like magic. There we go.
And that was it. We waited all the time for that. Anyway. no, it's good. Anyway, I like... Bakeney Point in the Ebor. I backed him at 25-1 when the weights came out. I think I noticed today Ryan Moore's been booked. I think he's got a very good chance. I loved his run at Goodwood last time in a group race. Just think he's peaking. His Old Newton Cup run was really good when he was ridden by a 7-pound claimer out the back. I just think Roger Charlton is so good with these horses, with Hold in these staying races. He's got as good a record as anyone. I think he's been trained for the race, and I'll be really disappointed if he doesn't run a big race.
Okie dokie, over to Nicholas Watts.
God, there's loads this week that I like.
What about Blakeney Point, Wattsy? Yeah. Is he on your radar?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's one of many in the Ebor. I haven't quite narrowed it down yet, but it's got to be Orion's Bow.
No, I'm joking.
It's going to be Space Traveller. I was impressed with that win at Hamilton last time out. I think he mentioned he's 5-1. That would do for me.
Okay.
What about you, Maddie? Simple. What's your nap of the week?
I don't know if I have one yet. I like looking at those sort of two-year-old races. I had a good look at the Acom and the Lowther, but I need to know a bit more, you know, who's running. I like the look of James Street in the Acom. I think he could run well, but nothing I'm too confident on yet. Need to give it a bit more time to simmer. Is that right?
That was pretty good, considering you've just walked in the door from Deauville. Yeah, not a bad effort.
Yeah, exactly. More on Deauville. That was nice timing, just after this.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the final instalment of Monday's postcast. We're going to look back on the pre-morning at Deauville yesterday. Pretty Pollyanna defeating Signora Cabello after a really good tussle. Wattsy, those two fillies came clear. I sort of thought, fair play, it was a decent race considering.
Yeah, definitely the right two fillies came to the fore, didn't they, as you said, and they put 4 lengths on the third, so that normally indicates, you know, a good race when you can put distance between yourselves and the also-rans. You know, Signora Cabello being a real superstar filly this season, obviously winning at Royal Ascot, it's tough as they come. And Pretty Pollyanna, I think she's taken Connections by surprise a little bit. She won at 14-1 on her debut, so they weren't expecting her to be an early type. And you can understand that when you delve into her breeding, because she's related to User Friendly, who is, Tom will remember him, it was probably before you were born, Maddie, but multiple Oaks winner from yesteryear.
Like yesterday, Wattsy.
Yeah, but she was a really, really strong stayer. So Michael Bell said yesterday, well,
she won the Ledger, didn't she, User Friendly?
And the Oaks.
She won all sorts. She almost won an Arc de Triomphe as well. She was a hell of a filly. But
anyway.
Yeah, so and Michael Bell said yesterday, well, I'm pleased that she's won this because, you know, we're planning on stepping her up in trip next season. I don't think he has any need to worry whatsoever about stepping her up in trips based on that pedigree. And I know there's Oasis Dream is the sire, but Oasis Dream weirdly has got some good middle distance horses in the past as well, Midday being one of them. So much to look forward to for Pretty Pollyanna. I think she'll only get better as she goes further as well. So I think when she steps up further towards the end of the season and particularly next year, she'll be a real force to be reckoned with. And yeah, fantastic performance building on what she did at Newmarket.
Indeed. Now, before we go to Tom, I will just read out the 1,000 guineas betting. Pretty Pollyanna 12-1, Main Edition 16-1, Goddess 16-1, Fairyland 20-1, Zagatova 20-1, So Perfect 20-1, and a whole host of others. Tom, reaction on the pre-morning?
Well, just reading out those prices, Maddie, there, I think she's a... If you are that way inclined to have a 1,000 guineas bet, I think she's a pretty good one. I really do. I don't... You know, all those other ones just behind her, only a few points behind her in the market, have done nothing like she's done. You know, that was a really good effort yesterday. They were a long way clear of the rest of the colts. I think Signora Cabello is...
She's more a sprinting type.
She's definitely more of a sprinting type, definitely. But I've been guilty of underestimating her massively. She's just getting better all the time. John Quinn's done amazingly well with her, considering where she came from. Doesn't look much. She's not massive filly, but she's just getting better all the time. I thought Pretty Pollyanna did really well. She, as Michael Bell said, her strongest furlong was her last. She'll definitely stay a mile, I think. Mm. It looked like that at Newmarket too, where she just poured it on from a mile out. I think Sylvester rides her brilliantly. I think she's perfectly good, reasonable anti-post bet, if that you're that way inclined, for the 1,000 guineas. I haven't seen one yet that's anywhere near as good as her. Obviously, there's plenty of time to come, but... You know, normally we've seen normally by this time, the modern way is to get these fillies out and running, you know, these guineas fillies. If they're going to have to do well to get in front of her in the market, I'm pretty sure of that.
Mm. I was there and I think she travelled sort of so much better than anything else. Even in the first half of the race, she looked good quality. She looked like she was very doing it easily and she had the capabilities to go even faster. And I like the ride as well. You know, get her out in front. Let's not make things too complicated. And as you say, she was tough. She could have sort of folded in the closing stages, but she kept on really nicely to deny a filly that has rock solid form and who we could sort of set our clock by. So I was pretty impressed with Pretty Pollyanna. It'd be interesting to see how she does next, where she goes next. Any ideas where she'd go next, anyone?
Well, I presume the Cheveley Park, I would imagine. I imagine they'll stick to six, but I mean, she would have no problem running in a Group one race over seven, if that's the way they went.
Mm. I think she'd handle Newmarket as well. I wouldn't really have any worries about that. Yeah. Anyway, moving on to a horse for your Racing Post tracker or an eye catcher from this week's racing. Nick, I'll go to you first.
God, that's difficult. This isn't very original, but one horse that did win on Saturday I was really impressed with was Sir Dancelot, because he hasn't always backed up one, you know, good performance with another one. I think the win at Goodwood, when he had to kind of go through really narrow gaps through the eye of a needle and still get there and win, I think that's made a man of him. And he gets on really, really well with Gerald Mossé. And this was a different type of race, this one, and there was a lot of conjecture about whether he'd be as suited to it because there might not be any early gallop, etc., and he was beaten in the race last season. But he showed that to be all wrong. Won again very, very comfortably. He might handle a drop down in trip to six furlongs before the end of the season. And Elsie's always
fourth in the July Cup, wasn't he?
He was fourth in the July Cup. Elsie's always a very bullish trainer. He's not afraid to run his horse. He's not afraid to run them in the highest class when he thinks they're good enough. I just think this horse made a major kind of breakthrough in his last two runs. So I'd, you know, definitely keep him in the tracker for the rest of the season.
Okie dokie, Tom.
I'll no doubt forget the one I really mean, but I'm still a bit of a fan of Raymond Tusk. Maddie, I know he was thrashed on Saturday, but I think Hamada's very good, and I think he had a lot go against him. They were sort of softened him up, the Godolphin horses, and for a three-year-old, he just looks a bit raw, a bit big. He doesn't quite know what he's doing yet. I don't think he'll win a St. Ledger, but I think he'll be a really good horse next year. I think there's plenty more to come from him. I thought he did really well to stick on. Most horses would have dropped away, and let's not forget, they were a long way hit clear, the three of them, of Algometer and, you know, and Die Harald, proper group class horses. I think some people will be disappointed that he got beat on Saturday and got beat so easily, but I think it was an improved run and I think he's going to get better again. I like him. I think he'll be a good horse next year.
Okay, so two horses to keep in your Racing Post tracker there. And that should about do it for today. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. We'll be back for another postcast on Friday to look ahead to the final day of York and preview the weekend's other races. You can also download our golf and football postcast every week as well. And until next time, enjoy your racing and goodbye.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.